Let's pray. Father in heaven, we look for, ask for your Spirit to be poured out on us, to be poured out on our kids, the fulfillment of all you purchased for us, Lord. We ask it to come to pass right now in the name of Jesus. We love you, Father. We thank you for the place that you have put us in, the place of being your children, of knowing you and walking with you, having a hope that goes beyond this world, and just a life that is incredible and beyond what we can really even comprehend, Lord, without your help and your guidance. Just with the rest of this time that we've set aside here with this message and with you acting as we pray and seek you for on behalf of each other and for the things you said we could, we ask that we would experience, Lord, during this next 30, 40 minutes, just the manifest presence of God doing what you want to do. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We're still in Romans. Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 8. Again, Paul continues to build and build and leading up to Romans chapter 8. And up to this point, he's really just hammered over and over again what he's done, what he's accomplished, what he's bought for us. And really, the death and resurrection of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit means a death to the old and a radical new life in the present that he brought about for us. In Romans, Paul is just determined to hammer that home in the first seven chapters. He's done it, and he's still doing it in chapter 8. But in chapter 8, there's a little bit of a change coming in that he's beginning to focus on the Spirit of God working in us to bring that newness of life, to help us live that out. And there's a couple places where I've told you there's kind of a, you know, he builds it up, here's the pivotal point, and then from here it goes. And he's going to, chapter 8, centering on the Spirit and the Spirit moving and acting in our lives and us interacting with the Spirit. And from there, we'll finish out Romans, and a lot of what it'll be is about, okay, do this and do this and do this and do this. And I believe Paul's theology is really about all that God has done, and because of all that he's done, what his Spirit will now do in us now, in the future, and taking us into eternity. And it's just a central point of what he wants to take place, always centers on the Spirit of God, his Spirit interacting with you and me. And, you know, I was thinking about this, and I just kept going over and over of the Spirit of God in my life, what that has meant over the years. And I'm thinking back to when I was 5 years old, and just things that have taken place as the Spirit of God moved in my life. And his presence in so many different ways. I mean, there's several names for the Holy Spirit: the Comforter, a teacher, Spirit of Power, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit. And I rehearsed some of those things, and being a young boy, I remember getting hurt and just calling out to God. No one else was around, no one would listen, and just the pain that I felt, and just sensing a nearness. Times where, as a young man, experiencing things in the family life, through different times of struggle there, and times of trauma, and parents divorcing, and just the helplessness of being a child and all these things going on and sin being involved, and yet it just seemed to be this strange chaos, and calling out to God and sensing a comfort of the Spirit of God. And not, I couldn't have articulated that. I wouldn't have had a clue, but sensing God near. And then just, you know, the drawing of the Holy Spirit toward God in the gospel message and a response to that. And then, you know, listening to God and wanting to know Him and asking, saying, you know, who's this Holy Spirit? I want more of you, God, and reading the Word and beginning to grow in an understanding of that. And again, time after time, asking God for something and the Spirit of God responding in my heart, in my mind, and just the love and the comfort and the blessing feeling from the Spirit as He interacts with us. And so I've just been rehearsing that as I was, you know, going over these scriptures and praying and reading it. And really, I want to call that out of you. How has the Spirit of God moved and acted on your heart and your life? To your earliest memories of what that would mean, to the present, God wooing you, loving you, being expressing the Father's love through His Spirit indwelling you, empowering you for ministry. Because that's central to us walking out the Christian life. The Spirit of God moving and acting on us and us participating and acting with Him. Let's look at Romans 8. Starting in verse 1, Paul has, in chapter 7, again, nailed down, dead to the law, dead to everything that is bad, dead to the war that wages within our flesh, and we can be alive to God. And in the last two verses of chapter 7, he basically is talking about that struggle, having trying to serve God but can't, and all of that. And I'll go ahead and start in verse 24. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this death or struggle that I just can't do it? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Again, Paul continues with his, you know, this has taken place, and so you don't have to live in your mind in a sinful state. You can live with your mind set on the Spirit. And he's still dancing it back and forth, but he's bringing the aspect of the Spirit of God in, and the Spirit of God being that which we interact to live out what he's saying has taken place when Jesus died and was resurrected. And that's really the place where, you know, that's where we're wanting to get to. Jesus did this. Yes, we know what it says. We know what it implies. We know what that means. I mean, in our minds, I mean, we can comprehend that pretty well. But how do we then apply it to our lives and live it out? How do we then, you know, take, just to use the example, the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, his blood was shed for us. How do we take that blood and wipe it all over us so that we get the full benefit? And that's the job of the Spirit of God. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to come and lead us and guide us and walk us through that. And, you know, I mean, this is where I'm at right now personally. You know, I am asking God to give me more of his Spirit, to open my eyes, to see more clearly my inheritance in the saints, to empower me to do the things he's called me to do. Because, if we don't get this, then we may be a group that walks around with a really good theology, maybe better than anybody else, and we know what it says and we know what that implies, but if we don't walk it out, we don't get the benefit of that. And I don't know about you, but I signed up for the benefits. I wanted the full 401k, the health care, the dental, the vision. I've heard, you ever hear the pastors or anybody talking, and they're saying, like, you know, what's more important, the power or the purity of God? What do you really want in your life, a devotion with God or to minister to others? And every time I hear those kind of things put as opposed, I've always just thought, that's crazy. I want it all. I want to be pure for God, and I want to have a ministry that powerfully touches people. I want to be involved with getting people saved and discipled. I want everything God has for us. And I think this is, And I think this passage, it really does focus a lot of that in. It focuses what Jesus did on the cross, but it focuses on us responding to that in some way. And some of this is interesting, but let's get to what I think God wants for us today. Verse 4, we're jumping there. It says, he condemns sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. Jesus dying on the cross condemned sin in sinful man. Jesus wasn't sinful man. We, men and women here, we were sinful man. We were the ones, and he condemned sin in our lives. As at the same time, he paid the price for that sin. That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. I mean, just the phrasing there. Think that through. We stand before God with the righteous requirements of the law, which we did not have the ability to accomplish or even come close to. We stand before God with those requirements fulfilled. I mean, in one sense, I think, why? Why'd you do it like that, God? I mean, I understand you had to forgive me for what I did. So why doesn't it just say, we stand as forgiven of the terrible job we did trying to measure up to God's standards? Why isn't it? But again, the way God does everything is so much better than we would do it. He does it to the point that we actually stand there as fulfilling those requirements, so that we can walk around just like Jesus did. And finishing the sentence, that those might be fully met in us the righteous requirements of the law, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. If we're going to walk that out, we have to do what it says to do, fulfilling those righteous requirements, and walking out with the Spirit what God has for us. Let's jump to verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have set their minds on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So here's where we participate with the Spirit of God in our lives and all that God's done. What we choose to set our minds on. And again, this is where we, you know, we don't have to wonder, you know, sometimes we sin. How's that possible with all God did? And then sometimes we do the right thing. And how's that possible that we don't do that all the time? I mean, Paul's really setting it up here. He's saying, you know, it's all that's been bought is available in here, but where will we set our minds and attentions toward? We still have the flesh. It still pulls. We can still set our entire attention and mind as a born-again believer, filled with the Spirit of God, speaking in tongues, prophesying, any gift you want to throw in there. We all know this. I'm not giving anybody new information here. We all can still set our minds on the desires of the flesh. I didn't surprise anybody with that one, did I? I can talk to you about it later. If you don't find yourself doing that, I can explain the process. I've got it down. But so we can do that. We know, we understand that. But Paul's saying here, but we can turn and set our mind on the Spirit of God and what God has purchased and cooperate and interact with the Spirit of God. And as that happens, the newness of life begins to flow in a greater measure. I mean, God's life is in us. But that newness of life, that life lived out, that fulfillment of all that He has for us, we set our minds on what the Spirit desires. And, you know, I think this is right in line with what Jesus was talking when He said, you know, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. And in those passages, it says how, you know, it talks about the, you know, you guys, you give good gifts to your kids. How much more will God? In one of the Gospels, it says specifically, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And I don't think that's just speaking about the promise of the Spirit that it's going to come, but the promise of the Spirit, that as you ask for the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will come and interact with you. As you set your mind on who the Spirit is and what the Spirit wants to do in your life, there will be an interaction that takes place that draws you closer to the Father and closer to the Spirit and closer to the Son. And that's what God wants to. And why is that? Because this God we serve is caught up in relationship and love, and He's crazy about who you guys are. And He wants to talk to you. He wants to give you impressions. He wants to speak to you clearly in things. He wants to give you some mysteries that you have to keep talking to Him about, so He'll just continue to unfold them like a flower, so you can see the full beauty of it. And He wants to use you to minister to other people so that you can have the joy of experiencing what He does as He brings people to life. He wants to do that all day long with you, just talking back and forth. Hearing your voice address Him. Hearing your voice respond to Him calling to you. He thinks that's the best way to do it, because it'll keep pulling you in and keep drawing you closer to Him and keep giving you more and more of that fullness of life. Verse 5, it talks about the mind set on the Spirit. Verse 6 changes the phrase a little bit to the mind controlled by the Spirit. And that mind controlled by the Spirit is peace and life. Again, I'm here for all the benefits, okay? I didn't sign up for the suffering part. I'll take it. It's a package. I understand. But I want peace and life. I want the life of God in me. I'm not very satisfied with my life. I want the life of God moving and flowing through me, and I want His peace. I don't want a peace I can create because it just never lasts. Whether it's, you know, I think I might have enough money, enough time, enough this, enough safety, enough health. It's fleeting. But if I've got His peace, even if I get sick, it's still there. Even if I suddenly can't pay my bills, His peace can still be there. So at first it talks about setting the mind on the Spirit. So that requires me to think. Sometimes a difficult task, but it requires me to concentrate some, to focus. There's something I'm exerting to make that happen, but then he uses that stronger term of control, mind controlled by the Spirit, and I don't believe that's a, you know, robot type thing. You get the download, God plugs into you, and then he's, you know, it's like we're not involved. I just believe that's a degree and a level of interacting with the Spirit of God, of setting our minds on the Spirit to the point that's really our default, that's what we tend to do. As the Spirit comes in, we just tend to know what He's doing because we've set our mind on Him so often by looking at His Word and by just sitting and talking to Him. It's almost automatic. It's about Him coming along and really shepherding, like a shepherd would just tap a sheep with a staff and just move him a little over and just tap him the other way, and again just directing him in the direction He wants him to go. And that's what I believe the Father wants to take place with us as we listen to the Spirit of God. As we concentrate and focus on the person of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, again, I kind of got an advantage because I get to practice this a week ahead of time. I got a general idea of what I'm going to talk about. But, I've kind of been all over the spectrum. I mean, I've been talking to God, and it's really causing me to reevaluate what I'm doing, how I'm doing it. And what I'm doing mostly right now is I'm just sitting and just saying, Spirit of God, come talk to me. And I'm just being quiet. And again, renewing all the times the Spirit of God has showed up in my life. And what that has meant just as far as just who I am and in relation to His relationship with me. And His love for me. And I love the Holy Spirit. I love who He is. It's amazing to me. I look at my life and just His love that He pours out on me all the time. And time after time, I expect Him to come and speak to me in a chastisement or, you know, you're the most miserable Christian I've got going. We're still going to let you in, but gosh, when are you going to get this right? That's what I expect. And it's like, He'll show up and just, yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, I still love you. More than ever. And it's because of His love and faithfulness toward us. Oh, he doesn't ignore the things that we know are there and that He doesn't like. I have one. You get pictures of God sometimes just over your lifetime of how He interacts with you. I've got this one picture of it's kind of like his foot is on my chest. And he's just kind of pressing it there. Kind of like, yeah, I'm the God of the universe. Just, can we deal with this? Yes, Lord. No problem. But it's still, it's always in his love. It's never like he's, it's never a fear he's going to crush me. But he likes to remind me he could. It's just a loving thing. I do it with my boys once in a while. The other thing, in, as we close here, is, I mean, we want more of the Spirit of God. We want to see Him move in our lives, and God desires that also. But you know what? Something I felt God impress on me is He wants us to ask for more of Him. Again, there's that participation. God wants us to call out to Him and say, Lord, I want more of you in this church. I want more of you in my heart. I want more of you in my family. He wants those words coming off our lips. And, I mean, He's even the one putting them there as He moves in our hearts. So, but you know what? Let's go ahead and stand and start the ministry time. I don't know where you guys have been or where you're at right now in relation to this, but if you're in that place where you're saying, God, I want more of you. I want more of your Spirit. I want more to return maybe to some of the things that you used to do before. Maybe you used to sit and listen. Maybe you used to interact with the Spirit of God more. I'm not even really talking about gifts here and the public display of this. That's great. That's an end result of what takes place, and that's even something to ask God for. But right now I'm just talking about the part where you and the Spirit of God were spending more time together, and it was on His terms, not yours. When you and the Holy Spirit were having more conversations, and you were attempting more to set your mind on what He was about and what He was doing, and your desire was more, again, not in a robotic way, but to be guided and controlled by what He was about. If that's something that God's pulling at you, just come on up to the front. Pray for you. Father, we ask you to come right now. Holy Spirit, oh God, I want more of you. We want more of you corporately as a people, in our church, acting and moving, taking hold of us, having your way. Lord, help us to set our minds on what you're doing. Lord, we ask you to control us. Control our minds, that they'd be focused on you. Just come right now. Come in power, Lord.